to talk to you about what I have titled How to Reset Your Mind. How to Reset Your Mind. This lifestyle, the upgraded lifestyle, the life of blessing, the life of more and more, requires you to upgrade your mind. If you do not upgrade your mind, your dreams will never come to pass. There is a mindset required for the lifestyle you want to live. There is a mindset required. The mind is a wonderful thing. The mind is powerful. The mind is more powerful than Satan. The mind is more powerful than the devil. And your mind can hold you captive. Your mind can hold you bound. Your mind can arrest you. And your mind can make nonsense out of your life. In the midst of abundance, your mind can keep you poor. In the midst of opportunities, your mind can enslave you. Your mind can put shackles to your feet that no man dare put on your feet. Tell your neighbor, change your mind. Sometimes we know how to dream, but I tell you, dream is cheap. Anybody can dream. But the question is, can you produce the mind commensurate to that dream? God has given us a promise, over 7,000 promises in the Bible. But the question is, can your mind accommodate it? Can your mind accommodate it? The disconnect between your reality and your future is filled with your mind. Your mindset is the difference between your reality and your future. Your mindset. And so God wants us to change our mindset. Your mindset. Some people's minds are set. When a mind is set, sometimes it is difficult to shift. But I'm praying that at the end of this session today, that the Holy Ghost will do a quick work on your mindset. In the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how lofty the dream is. If your mind tells you are not going, I tell you, you are not going. If your mind tells you cannot, there's nothing anybody can say. You cannot. See. But God has given us a wonderful. Look at Romans chapter 8, from verse 5 to 11. This Sunday and next Sunday, I'm going to be dealing with the mindset. The mindset. Many years ago, I approached an elderly gentleman in Cyprus. And I told this gentleman that God has asked me to move my family to Cyprus, to England. And the man looked at me and said, "Son, I think you got it wrong." I said, "Why?" And he went on and told me all the negative things about United Kingdom. And he was on the borderline of talking me out of my destiny. And the man had made up his mind. Funny thing, he was British. He had made up his mind about this nation. And he sold me. He tried to sell me on his idea that in England it is very tough. He said, "Son, first thing you will notice is that the weather is very cold." He said, "I don't know why on earth you want to leave a country like Cyprus where it's always sunny." He said the kind of cold you will encounter in England is nothing like the winter in Cyprus. He said, "I beg of you to reconsider." He said, "And the people are very friendly, very unfriendly, my friend." He said, "You see, here in Cyprus, everybody laughs and everybody shares." He said, "In England, it's not like that." He said, "Are you sure God told you to move to England?" And when he was done, as I was thinking, as I wondered, my goodness, is this true? Certainly he must be right because he's British. Amen. And then, but I made up my mind. I said, "Well, That's his story. But I know what I heard of from God. And so I set my family on a journey, and we moved across. And in the moment I landed, true to his words, the winter here is not like the winter in Cyprus. But I made up my mind. And I told myself, I refuse to see what he saw about this nation. I started telling myself, I said, I love this nation. I started making my confession. I was fighting. What he sold to me was like poison to my dream. I spent the next 1 year trying to detox myself from that negative comment. I started telling myself, I love England. I love the people. I love the city. And I'm still doing that to you today. So this Sunday and next Sunday, I'm going to teach you how to evaluate your mindset, how to surrender your mindset, how to redirect your mindset, how to encourage your mindset. Anybody, you must learn these skills. If not, it doesn't matter how much prayers have been prayed over you. Doesn't matter what the prophetic word has been said over you. They will not come to pass. It's not because the devil is powerful. It's just because your mind has held you captive. Your mind can hold you captive. Your mind. Let's look at what the Bible says about our mindsets. Your mind is so powerful that if you do not arrest it, God can move you from level 1 to level 2, and your mindset will drag you back to level 1. Your comfort zone is a product of your mindset. Your mind can paint a picture of fear and come up with 10,000 reasons why you should not move to the next level. And that's why every time we receive a prophetic word, we will do ourselves great injustice if we do not address our mindset. Each level in life requires a certain mindset. And I will tell you a personal story. Many years ago, I came into England. I was poor, very poor. Never been poor in my life before. My dad and my mom have no idea. You know, if my dad and my mom had an inclination of what I was going through in England, they would have sent me a first-class ticket to come back home and tell me that, what's your problem? Did you say we cannot feed you? And so I was praying for breakthrough. But church, when the breakthrough came, I was living in a room in a house. I don't say, oh, I've heard this several times. You must hear this several times. You must hear this. This is where I saw Jesus. So nobody should rob me of my stories. You will hear. Because it's part of my message. Yeah, because when I was crying, I told Jesus, if you deliver me, I will tell your story. So if you are tired of listening on this, please block this right ear and turn the other. Tell your neighbor, say you was here. Hey, once upon a time. time. So I was praying for the breakthrough. So the breakthrough finally came. When the breakthrough came, I couldn't handle it. I was never poor in my home. Don't make no mistake about that. Not all African countries are poor. And not all those who come from Africa are poor. So I'm here because God sent me here to rescue the British. It's true. Through the word of prayer, through prayers, through anointed services, that's why I came as a missionary. I'm a missionary. I wasn't poor. All right? My father is still alive. Praise the Lord. I was asking God, bless me, bless me, bless me. And within a year, I arrived in the UK in May 29th, 1997. By May 29th, 1998, I was working in a Fortune 500 company. I thought that was a blessing. I spent 2 years there. But by September 2000, I launched out into my own consulting practice. The first month that I earned £12,000 net in my bank account, you would have thought that the guy who has been praying for breakthrough would be ready for this. I wasn't ready. At the end of the month, I saw that every time I look at my bank account, though I was happy, but I was having palpitations. You know? that palpitation will almost become a medical condition later on. Do you understand? You have to prepare yourself for your future, my friend. Or you can, or your mind can talk you out of it. I remember I bought myself on discount a wristwatch, right? And £250 on sale for a bloke who earns £600 a day. That should be nothing. I was panicking when I was making the purchase. After making the purchase, right, I kept it in my drawer. Every night I'll take a look at it. I'll put it back. I couldn't bring myself to wear the wristwatch. Your mind is so powerful. God can promote you spiritually. God can promote you physically. But your mind can keep you in an old place. Your mind can prevent you from moving into the future that God has ordained for you. Your mind can make you destroy great relationships. Have you had a terrible friend before? Right? Terrible friend or a terrible relationship? And then you move on, you cut that relationship off, you move on, but your mind is still there. And here you are at the moment, this present time, in a new relationship, but you are treating this relationship with the old mindset. Very soon, this new mate will get tired of it, will leave you, right? And then you move on to another friend. Your mind can cripple your future. And so I want to address the mindset. I want you to have the mindset commensurate with the anointing and the prophetic word that God has over you. He said he has upgraded you. He said he has made you a governmental person. He says you have a spot in this nation. He said he will promote you and give you more and more, you and your children. He said you will live a life of comfort. You will have a lot to store. You will have a lot to give. In fact, at the end of the service on Friday, they addressed you as a rich person. That is our reality. But the question is, with your mind, will your mind allow you be? Mary asked something, asked when he told him about the prophetic word, he said, how can this thing be? How can this thing be? And they addressed her. They said, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall bear a child. And so let's look at what the Bible says about our mindset. We want to look at how to evaluate our mindset. You need to evaluate your mindset. Is this mind rich enough, stable enough? Mindset, is it rich enough, stable enough to accommodate my new level? If your mindset is not rich enough to accommodate your new level, you will intentionally, right, go back to your old self. So, Romans chapter 8, from verse 5 to 11. He says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. One scenario. Two, but those who live according to the Spirit. So that means that there are two ways to live. There are two ways to live. The first way of life is to live according to the flesh. It says those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds. Listen, it didn't say that the devil set their mind. It said they themselves, they have the power to set their minds on the things of the flesh. It also says that there's a second way you live. There are certain ways. Second way you live is to live by setting your mind according to the things of the Spirit. It said there are two types of people. The first type of person is a person who sets his mind on the things, who sets his mind or live his life according to the flesh. What that means, flesh there means your natural self, your natural disposition, your natural tendency, your natural preferences, just you, the way you are. Amen. It says, but there's another set of people, they live their life by setting their minds on the things of the Spirit. And so the word mind refers to your disposition, Your attitude. Listen very carefully. You need to drop certain attitude so you can accommodate your future. So when we talk about mindset, it talks about attitude. There are certain attitudes you have right now. There are certain preferences you have right now. You cannot have that same attitude or mindset if you are to come into the level that God has for you. It says, so you need to change your mindset. Your mindset talks about the way you think about life. The way you think about life has got to change. If you are in a level one type of lifestyle right now, to live a level two type of lifestyle, you've got to change your mindset. You've got to change your mindset. You have to. If not, you cannot maintain your new level. There is a change of mindset. So mindset, there's a change of attitude. There's a change of preferences. There's a change of taste. There's a change of environment. There's something needs to change about your views. And when we talk about your mindset, we are looking at how you interpret God. How you see God. How you see people. How you see yourself and what you consider as truth. Those four things. There are the things that will determine whether you can maintain an upgraded lifestyle or not. Do you understand? And then you've got to examine these things. You've got to examine these things. Sometimes we make a lot of our challenge is that we try to move from the spirit into the natural. What does that mean? A prophetic word is a spiritual content. A prophetic word is a word of God addressing your future state. And so our responsibility is to take that prophetic word, align ourselves with it, convert that prophetic word into our natural existence. Does that make sense? So our natural experience. But there's a way you do that. And the very first thing to do, the Bible says, is that you need to change your mindset. You need to make sure that your mind, you need to set your mind on the things of the spirit, because what you are trying to gain is a spiritual content. Praise the Lord. Oh, you are very quiet this morning, this afternoon. Tell your neighbor, you've had breakfast. Mm-hmm. Have you not? Okay, not the choir. Yeah. So your mindset is a collection of all your presuppositions and your assumptions. You can't carry them over. You cannot. It won't work. So we need to evaluate our mindset and ask ourselves certain questions so we'll be able to flow enough. So we're able to make our dreams come to our dreams happen or live in the reality of our dreams. Praise the Lord. So number one, there are four questions you need to ask yourself in evaluating your mindset. The first question is this what God wants? Is this what, listen very carefully, you are where you are today. Where you are today is the manifestation of all the collective decisions you have taken in your life up to now. And where you are going to in the future will be a collection of the decisions you are making or you are making right now. Does that make sense? So in evaluating my mindset, God says, I am the head and not the tail. God says, I am now living an upgraded lifestyle. I have not seen it yet. But I need to make certain decisions in life right now. And the Bible has just warned me that I should make sure I set my mind based on the things of the spirit and not on the things of the flesh. And so the first question I want to ask myself when I'm making decisions right now is to ask myself, is this what God wants? It says there are two types of people. Some people will say, is this what I want? Now that's the man or a woman who have set their mind on the things of the flesh. They live according to kingdom me, the I kingdom. But the Bible is saying, but I want to live according to the things of the Spirit. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. So you've got to ask yourself, not is this what I want, or is this what God wants? And I'm asking you this morning, or this afternoon, the choices that you are about to make, or the choices that you are in the process of making, is this what God wants, or is this what you want? Is this what God wants? Is this what God wants, that you change that job? Is it what God wants, that you change that career? Is it what God wants? Or is this what you want? No, I was saying in the second service, I was talking about Minister Femi. Many years ago when he came, I think years ago, it's been around now for ages. I don't even know what year we're talking about now. And he said, oh, Pastor, I want to, my job is very difficult. And I asked him one question. I said, he was complaining about his boss at work. I said, but stop complaining about him. I said, you're not changing that job. I said, because I don't even know if this is the will of God for you. And the guy was tough. And I said, but you stay here and learn. Stay here and learn, because you don't know. So we don't just get up and leave our jobs because we don't like it. Is it what God wants? We don't just get up and walk away from a relationship because we don't like it. Is it what God wants? What you want to do for that child, is this what God wants? The school you are choosing for that child, is that what God wants, or you are doing it because your neighbor just enrolled their kids in that school? You've got to ask yourself these questions. It says, live your life, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Now, to set your mind on the things of the Spirit means that we need to consult the Spirit before we make our decisions. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. So for those who live according to their nature, according to their natural dispensation and dispositions, they set their mind on the things of the flesh, the I kingdom. But those who live according to the Spirit, you must live according to the Spirit for the prophetic word of God to come to pass in your life. Now, it doesn't matter how long you sit in church. It doesn't matter how long you say amen. If you receive that prophecy and you live your life according to your natural tendencies, it will not come to pass. That which is spirit, not spiritual. That which is natural. But God wants us, you and I, to change our mindset. Is this what God wants? The second question you want to ask yourself is this. Is this consistent with life and peace? What you are about to do, is this consistent? You know, there are certain things you will do, you will hurt your entire family. And some will say, you know what, I don't care because it's my life. No. It's not your life. I may not live in your house. I may not have your last name. But whatever you do, I am affected as your pastor. So it's not your life. It's not. We are all interconnected. And so it's an ecosystem. Right? There's interdependency. You don't have a life anymore. Just as I don't have a life anymore. My life is your life, and your life is you are laughing. Your life is my life. It's your life. And so you've got to ask yourself that question. What am I about to do? What am I about to say? Will it be consistent with my life? Now, what is your life? Your life is the life of the Spirit. Your life is the life of what? Of the Spirit. Whatever you do, my friend, must be consistent with your life as a believer. God has called you and I to live a sacrificial life. That's what it means when he says we set our mind on the things of the spirit and not on the things of the flesh. In other words, you remove me, I and myself out of the equation. That is called a sacrificial life. So, this decision, is it consistent with your faith? Is it consistent with your life? Number one. Number two, will it bring peace? Will you do something or say something that will keep me up at night? Will I lose sleep over what you have done or said? So he said, evaluate your mindset. Evaluate your mindset. No one should lose sleep over what you have done or what you have said. If anyone loses sleep, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your community, whether it's in your colleagues at work, that ain't right. Like my American bro will say, it ain't right. Mr. Boston will say, what do we say? You say, something is not right. So that's not right. What do you used to say again? Usually he goes, oh, that ain't right. That ain't right. Tell anybody it's not right. For you to enjoy yourself, tell your neighbor, say it's not right. For you to enjoy yourself, for you to make a decision that keeps others at wake. Exactly. Ain't right. Yeah. It's not right. He said, but it's my life. No. The day you give your life to Jesus, it makes you and I blood relatives right now. We are joined at the hips. Too late. Too late. He said, well, okay, I will leave the church. Hey, we are still connected. Yes. You know why? They'll say, it's not that Christian who said that many years ago. I say, you see? And I'm a Christian, you are a Christian. We are still joined at the hips. Number three, ask yourself, does this thing bring honor to God? Or does it reflect hostility towards God? If just check your mind. Does it bring honor to God? Does the way you speak bring honor to God? Does the way you think bring honor to God? The things you do they bring honor to God? He said, you evaluate your mindset. Or does it reflect hostility to God? Will you behave and they will look at you and say, wow, this person is angry at God. You know, there are people who are angry at God. You're just upset with God. God says, turn right. You say, no, I'm going left. You say, why? I say, because something happened many years ago. You are still upset. No, forgive God. Forgive God. Does it reflect hostility to God? Or does your action make people hostile to God? Those who are not of faith, they know the standards, they know the yardstick. And lastly, number four, ask yourself, who is in control here? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it myself? How many of us are control freaks? You cannot be a control freak and survive in the kingdom of God. In this faith, we surrender. You know, back in the day, they used to sing a song, unto Jesus. Unto him my present Savior, I surrender all. Have you surrendered all? Or do you still keep part of you? There's no such thing as partial surrender is no surrender. Partial surrender. I saw the title of a book many years ago and it shocked me. But the guy made a lot of sense. He called it Christian Atheist, he said. He titled his book Christian Atheist. I thought, what an oxymoron. How can you be a Christian and be an atheist? But he described this in his book. He said a Christian atheist is one who believes in Jesus but lives like God does not exist. The one who believes in Jesus, but practically lives like there's no God. That is a Christian atheist. They do more damage than the devil will ever do. And Jesus said, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Yeah? So we are ready for the devil and his attack. How about the Christian? Are we ready for those who know the word, talk the word, but live exactly opposite to their talk and their walk? Do you understand? So, who is in control here? Is it you or is it the Holy Spirit? Have you surrendered? Have you surrendered? Does your decision cost you anything? What does that mean? You know what? Left to me, I'll have done it this way. But however, not my will, but your will, Jesus. So I opt to do it the Spirit way. The Spirit way is not comfortable for me right now. But I choose to do it. It's called maturity. It's called responsibility. Praise the Lord. So let's close with Psalm 139. Two scriptures and we'll close. Psalm 139 verses 23 and 24. King David was saying here, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." In other words, he's saying, "Search me, O God, and know the state of my mind, my mindset." He said, "Try me and know my anxieties." Next verse. He said, "And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So sometimes, you see what? Sometimes, right, our mindset requires searching. If you don't search it, you will never know that your mindset is not in congruency with your desired future state. So David says, "Search me. Search my mindset, O Lord." And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "The Spirit searches all things." And so our prayer this week is, "Lord, search my mind. Is there anything I'm holding on to that I have not submitted? Is there anything that I'm holding on to in my mindset that is not in alignment with the vision you have given to me? Is there anything I'm holding on to in my mindset that is not in alignment with the dreams of my heart? Is there anything that I'm holding on to in my mindset that is not in alignment with the prophetic word that you have given to me? Search my heart, O God." And you'll be shocked what the Holy Spirit will tell you. You'll be shocked what the Holy Spirit will tell you. You'll be shocked the adjustments the Holy Spirit will ask you to make in your speech, in your conduct, in your utterances, and the things you do. Rise to your feet this morning, afternoon, and let us pray.